life sketch of Edwin Isaacson Whiting. Edwin Isaacson Whiting Eddie, oldest son of nine children born to Edwin Marion and Anna Maria Isaacson Whiting, was born September 3, 1882 at the Meadows, 8 miles down the Little Colorado River from St. John's, Arizona. His family moved back to Mapleton, Utah when Eddie was about 6 years old, and this was their home for the next 12 years. They ran a sawmill there. Eddie was known throughout his life for his industry and ambition, and cut his first log and dragged it down into camp when just 8 years old. There are many interesting stories about Eddie as a child, but one that his children and grandchildren have cried in sympathy over is the story about when he waited all year long for the dime that he received on the 4th of July. He bought a little sack of candy, something he had been dreaming about for months. As he came out of the store, a little friend was waiting with an envious, hungry look, so Eddie offered him the first piece. The boy took the whole sack, said thank you, and left Eddie standing there with his mouth watering for the candy he had waited so long for and did not get. Another favorite was the tale about the time Eddie and another little boy were playing. The lad cut his finger, and when Eddie was not looking held the dripping wound over Eddie's bare toe, then exclaimed, "Oh, look, you have cut your toe." As soon as Eddie saw the blood on his foot, he thought he was mortally wounded, and ran howling to the house. When 17 years old, he and his brother, Ernest, hauled vegetables from Mapleton to Price, Utah to sell to the coal miners. They had to travel 2 full days, camping out at night. One time they sold the whole load for an unusually good price, and were afraid they might be robbed on the way home. When they camped that night, they dug a hole under their beds and put the can of money in it. They had traveled quite a distance the next morning when they remembered they had left the money behind, but when they went back to get it, it was still there. After a serious illness and a warning from his dead father, Grandpa Whiting realized that his mission was to settle in St. John's, so he brought his family back. It was hard to leave his home and friends behind. He brought his bees and blacksmith tools, and built a blacksmith shop in St. John's. He also raised some crops and built a store, which he optimistically called the Cash Store. One day, Eddie and Ernest really created a scene when they trapped a paper bag full of drone bees, which do not sting, and then turned them loose in school. But Eddie got what he deserved when one of the boys in school, Lewis Johnson, wanted to try the same trick and asked how to catch drones. He thought this would be even better than turning bees loose in school. He gave Lewis detailed instructions: just take the sack and open it, and hold it in front of the hive and then kick it really hard. Pretty soon you will have a sack full of drones, then close it and do what you want with it. Eddie went off, chuckling to himself, and sat under a tree to wait and watch the fun. It probably wouldn't ever happen again in 1,000 years, but when he kicked the hive, mad bees came buzzing out in all directions. Lewis stood in the middle of them and never got stung, but one bee found Eddie and crawled in his ear, and stung him as he had never been stung before. Eddie was quite an athlete. He played on the first basketball team in the old St. John's Academy, brought the first football into St. John's, and had quite a reputation as a baseball player and foot racer. His most famous race was when he played run, sheep, run when about 12 years old. He was determined to win, so when the other boys removed their shoes and stockings, he took off his shirt, hats and everything so that he would not have to carry an extra ounce of weight. Their goal was the big bonfire, and when the leader shouted, "Run, sheep, run," Eddie led them all up to the fire. But the speed he had shown up to that time was nothing compared to the burst he put on when he found a bunch of girls had come out to see the fun and were sitting around the fire. Eddie and his brothers and sisters all worked together with their father and mother in the business as they grew up. He graduated from the St. John's Academy, then went to the Brigham Young Academy. In the meantime, he had won the inside track with the Belle of St. John's, Ethel Farr. She was the daughter of Willard and Mary Elizabeth Ballantyne Farr. But he had lots of competition. She was slender, pretty and very talented, musically and otherwise. She was, and is, one of those exceedingly rare individuals born with queenly qualities that even most royalty has to acquire. One admirer got the jump on Eddie when he gave Ethel a beautiful horse, but he lost out again when the sheriff came and took both the horse and the young man, who had simply acquired the animal. Ethel still has the little monkey wrench that a group of mischievous boys gave to her. They were always teasing her about the unusually large nose one of her suitors had, and said she could use the wrench to turn his nose to one side when he tried to kiss her. Eddie and Ethel were married in the Salt Lake Temple June 6, 1906. He took his bride to San Antonio, later called Greer Valley and now Hunt, where they farmed and Ethel had taught school before she was married. They had no worldly goods and the little money they had went to buy seeds for planting. Their house was built of rock and mud, Indian style, and was only one large room on a bare, windswept hill. They later partitioned it with a large grain bin in the middle of the room, which reached almost from wall to wall. They were not too proud to build their own furniture, which consisted of two built-in beds, some homemade benches and table, two chairs and a good-looking cupboard, which Eddie had made from one wide, plain board for sides and the front, and goods boxes for the back. Ethel constructed some dressers from boxes and crates, curtained with calico. They also had a second-hand sewing machine, and this was their stock of furniture. Ethel used the old sewing machine to patch their clothing. She patched them so often that sometimes there was practically none of the original article left, with as many as 5 layers of patches, one on top of another. Although Eddie was a very successful businessman, Grandpa Whiting once had his doubts. Shortly after they were married, he told Grandma Whiting, "On the way home, I drove by Eddie's field. He was trying to plow up that rough, new land with that mean team of horses, and with Ethel sitting on his lap. They were laughing and singing, as if they did not have a care in the world. Mariah, I tell you, that pair will never amount to a hill of beans." They worked the farm for 4 years, then used part of the money to buy the store from Grandpa Whiting, and the rest to buy cattle. Eddie and his brothers, Ernest, Art, and Ralph, worked closely together in their various enterprises. This close cooperation was effective in building up the organization, which today places Whiting Brothers among the Southwest leaders in lumbering and sawmill operations, farming and ranching, cattle, retail stores and service stations. In talking to Eddie, one man stated what many others have often commented on throughout the years, as the family has worked together in building up their businesses. "You have one thing I can never get, the loyalty of your brothers, your belief in each other and perfect confidence in one another," with the second generation all falling in line, each apparently enthusiastically filling his place. "It is something that cannot be bought, and something so seldom found these days that we all marvel." No doubt Grandpa Whiting has looked down many times and chuckled as he recalled how he misfired on his hill of beans prediction. 7 children were born to Eddie and Ethel-Edwin Farr, February 24, 1907 Lee, June 19, 1909 Mabel, August 27, 1911 Melba, June 5, 1914 Virgil Burr, May 23, 1916 Irma, August 19, 1918 and Merwin Victor, January 30, 1924. Lee died as an infant, and Merwin was killed in a tractor accident at the age of 15. Virgil and Farr worked with their father in the business until they were killed in an airplane wreck March 29, 1961. All 3 daughters took business training and worked in the store and office before they were married. Now the 3 girls and their husbands, Wilford J. Shumway, Sherwood Udall, and Darwin D. Grant, own and run the business. In February 1942, a fire started in the garage and it took most of Eddie's business in St. John's-the furniture store, barber shop, theater, post office, store, garage, offices and apartments. The fire destroyed a dozen buildings and their equipment. But Eddie was never one to stay discouraged for long. He regarded every job as a challenge and tackled it with such zest that he couldn't help but succeed. The day after the fire, he set up temporary offices in the living room of his home and started rebuilding. Both Eddie and Ethel always enjoyed doing things. They liked to travel and took their children with them whenever possible. They visited world fairs at Chicago, San Francisco, St. Louis, New York, and the Brussels Exposition in Belgium and Seattle. In addition to LDS temples in the United States, they have visited temples in Hawaii, Switzerland, and England. Eddie liked to hunt and fish. Chasing wild horses was one of his favorite sports, and in one of these chases he caught Old Sparks, the best horse he ever owned. He thrilled crowds for years with the chariot races that he, Ralph and Lem staged. Eddie was never beaten in an election. He was elected to the state senate twice, also to the board of supervisors, and was deputy county treasurer for 2 years. Both Eddie and Ethel have always been active in the LDS church. He started out as primary secretary at the age of 10, Mia secretary at 16 in 1898, Mia counselor in 1901, and Mia superintendent in 1902. He filled a mission in the southern states in 1904-05, and was called home from his mission shortly before the regular time of his release, to serve as counselor to Bishop of Overson in 1905. He served as MIA superintendent in 1910, was on the Stake High Council, Bishop of the St. John's Ward for 6 years, and first counselor to Stake President Levi S. Udall for 16 years. Ethel was always the perfect and patient wife, and it sometimes took a lot of patience, as Eddie was well known for his absent-mindedness. There are many jokes about the numerous hats he scattered and gathered around the country, the different people he took places then forgot and left behind, and the time the barber had to remove 2 ties, before he could give him a shave. One of the tales told most often happened one morning, when he and his brothers were eating breakfast at a cafe. During a heated conversation, Eddie was served, and ate, a hearty breakfast. But the punchline came, when he called the waitress and told her sternly, "I just haven't time to wait for that oatmeal, so just cancel the order." The poor waitress was so dumbfounded she couldn't even answer, just picked up the empty oatmeal bowl, and held it out for all to see. Both Eddie and Ethel have given much pleasure to others through their entertainment activities, Eddie acting in and directing plays, and Ethel has done so much with her music. Most of her life, since she was 13, she has been an organist in one or more of the church organizations. She has said one of her greatest thrills came when she was asked to play for the first Sunday school and church held in the new academy November 4, 1900, she was just 14 years old. She has taught music, played, sung, and accompanied other musicians throughout the years. She is a member of the famous Mandolin and Guitar Club, which was organized by her mother about 1885. The club has entertained at many different types of functions, including conventions, Arizona State Fairs, and the World's Fair at Seattle. She has been with them ever since it started, and still sings and plays with the group. Ethel has devoted much of her life doing church work. She served in the primary for 26 years, 2 years as a teacher, Stake Primary President 7 years, counselor to Stake Primary President Clara Sherwood 7 years, and organist 10 years. She taught Sunday school, was Stake Meha counselor, first counselor to Stake Relief Society President Josie Patterson 13 years, organist in junior Sunday school 10 years, and has served as ward and stake organist for over 35 years. She has also been a Relief Society visiting teacher for so many years she can't even remember how long, and is still serving in this capacity. She is very much like her mother, always cooking for someone else and helping others in their time of trouble or sickness. Throughout the years, her home has always been full of welcome guests, and when friends and relatives come to town, they still go to Aunt Ethel's. At the age of 80, she still has large family dinners, and is always inviting her daughters and their families in to eat, or calls and tells them she has cooked something for them to take home. The wonderful lives Eddie and Ethel have lived, and the good examples they set, have earned the love and respect of their posterity, 7 children, 26 grandchildren, and 21 great-grandchildren. Eddie was a leader and an organizer of men, and he accomplished much in his lifetime, but could not have done nearly as much without the ever-faithful help of Ethel, who with much love, devotion and willingness was always a stalwart at his side.